I want to talk to us for the next few minutes about what I believe God has given me for this gathering, for us today, that I believe is a part of what he wants to do as we move out in this year. As we came into the new year, as we do in every year, I pray and I ask God to give me a word, give us a word, give us words that he's speaking into his church, into the body of Christ. And so there are people in various streams that are hearing different things as God is speaking to them, and they're putting it in their own vernacular and in their own words. And team, y'all can just don't go too far. And so, and Eric, you stay right there. And so, God spoke to me and said, 2018 is going to be the year of kingdom expansion. It would be a year of kingdom expansion. And then he gave me, I believe it's 6 different key points for the year. If you happen to look on the back of your bulletin, the AIRS bulletin, you will see those points on there. I'm referring to number 4 today in our time together. But I encourage you to read those, pray into those for yourself. But I want to talk to us for the next few moments about this thought. 2018, a year of new cycles of new beginnings. A new cycle of new beginnings. This is what God gave me. He said 2018 will be a year of a new cycle. The number 8 represents new beginnings. The number 10 represents a new cycle. We count off 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And then we go to really a 0 again, but we add a 1. That makes it 10. So 10 speaks to another cycle or another level. 2018 will be a year, adding 10 and 8 together, of a new cycle of new beginnings. We will enter this year with a fresh sense of grace, a fresh sense of grace, to try and do new things. Some doors will open for the first time. Others will open again for a second chance. I declare to you that in this year, we're going to have the opportunity to have some divine do-overs. Anybody need a divine do-over? I mean, just God, give me one more chance to get that right. Give me one more chance to go through that door. Give me one more chance to do this thing in the way that you intended. Come on, say divine do-overs. I believe that God is going to give us those opportunities. A new cycle of new beginnings. But there's 3 statements that I want to make to you today that if you open your minds and your hearts to receive them, I believe that they will help all of us as we walk out this year to be able to walk it out in levels of success and victory that we may not have in 2017. How many of you would be honest enough to say 2017 had its challenges? How many of you would be honest enough to say it was pretty rough, as a matter of fact? How many of you say you just don't know how rough it really was? It hits all of us at different levels, Brad. But 2018 is your year, Brad. 2018 is your year for things to get straightened out. I know it looks like you stumbled into this year with great uncertainty. But this is your song. You must have joyful expectation of good. And even though it may look like things are falling apart, God's got you. And he's got your situation. And so you get excited about what God has for you and get open to how he wants to bring it to you. This is going to be your year of him settling some things for you, straightening some things out, and setting you on the path that he has for you. Though others have counted you out, God has never counted you out. As a matter of fact, he's counted all the things that he has in store for you. So get excited about it and get ready for God to move in your life. Come on, bless the Lord like that word was for you. Come on, bless the Lord like that word was for you. Some of us years ago, there was a gentleman by the name of Moses Vey, great man of God. He said, sometimes when you hear a word and the word resonates with you, he said, you just need to reach up and grab it and say, me too, Lord. So we learned to do like this. Yeah, that means me too, Lord. God gave me that for Brad, but it may have been for you too. That's when you just, you know, you don't have to do it like, you know, like just, you know. You don't have to do it demonstratively, just, yeah, that's for me too, Lord. That's for me too. So I want to give you these three statements that I hope will help you and help all of us in this year. I want to tell you this, that in this year, we have to overcome self-imposed limitations. Number two, we've got to maintain a kingdom perspective. And lastly, we must speak faith-filled words. Now, I'm going to break this down for you very quickly. It's in Numbers 13, verse 32 and 33. It says this, so they, meaning the 10 of the 12, gave out to the sons of Israel bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone in spying it out is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great size. And we became like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. I want to share this with you. Over the course of my growing up, and I've had to learn how to overcome self-imposed limitations. Now, some of you can resonate with that. I've had to overcome my own self-imposed limitations. What am I talking about? It's this. Self-imposed limitations are limits that you have been set based on the way you think about yourself or your surroundings. They are usually thoughts of being inferior, inadequate, or unprepared. They are thoughts that lead to feelings of intimidation, fear of rejection, fear of failure, and insecurities. They are thoughts and feelings that once brought down, though, reveal that the basis for them was false and unfounded. I want to tell you, one of the worst things that you and I can do is compare ourselves by others that we're around.
That's right. Yes, sir.
You must accept this, and this is true for all of us. There's always somebody somebody that you will do something better than them, but there's also somebody that's going to do something better than you.
All right.
But Paul says this, they that compare themselves amongst themselves are not wise. So we can't allow ourselves to get caught up in that. Secondly, I want to tell you that your current situation doesn't define all of who you are.
Amen.
And so if you're in a season where you're struggling and you're trying to work through some things, it doesn't define who you are. You're just working your way through it.
Amen.
But often God will speak to you and I. He will show us a future. He will show us vision. He will show us or tell us plans that he has for us. And if we're not careful, we'll do like Jeremiah did in Jeremiah 1. He allowed his own self-imposed limitations to block, if you will, initially from what God was saying to him. When God said, I've called you to the nations, I have a plan for you. He says, but I'm a child. And God says, Jeremiah, let me remind you, before you were born, before you were shaped in your mother's womb, I knew you, I created you, I called you. Every person in this room, there is a call on your life. It may not be on this platform, it may not be in some very, very high visible place as a lot of people think it's supposed to be. No, it can be on your job.
Yes, sir.
It can be in your community, or it can be in your home. But what God has to do with Jeremiah is he has to navigate through his self-imposed limitations. We all have them. We all have them. Put that definition back up again very quickly, because I want us to be able to just grab a hold of it. They are limits that have been set based on the way you think about yourself or your surroundings. If you grew up in a setting where you were talked down to and you were never built up and you were never encouraged, guess what? It creates a self-imposed limitation. And that's why you want to get around some kingdom folk who can look into your life, look into your situation, see who God created you to be, and begin to speak that into existence, and gravitate to the people God has placed in your life to cause you to be the best person that you can be, the best kingdom person that you can be. He will do that for you. Now, I want to tell you, sometimes it doesn't feel good, because they'll say some things to you That'll hit a nerve. But if you can stay there long enough,
yes,
and allow God to work his process. Now, I'm not telling you hypothetically, because I've had to walk this out over and over and over and over again. Recently. See, I ain't talking about like 10 years ago. I'm good now. I'm just walking in the power of God. No. I'm talking about all of us. I'm talking about all of us. If you're not careful, there's always going to be someone that causes you to feel insecure. Except that you find your identity in Christ.
Amen.
Except that you find your worth in God.
Amen.
When God spoke to his son Jesus, when he was baptized, he said, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." That settled it all. They could say anything they wanted to say to him, anything they wanted to say about Jesus, but the Father had already affirmed him, confirmed him. It settled everything that he would have to navigate through. God wants you and I to walk in the confidence that we have in Christ. You must overcome the self-imposed limitations and see yourself in light of how he created you. God speaks to Jeremiah and he says, "Jeremiah, what do you see?" He said, "I see the budding of an almond tree." He said, "You have seen well. You have said well. I will now hasten to perform my word." Now hear me, I'm speaking to you prophetically. For some of you, last year was a year of working through some of those self-imposed limitations. But because you allowed God to do the work on the inside of you, this year he's going to hasten to perform that word in your life.
Hallelujah. Amen, amen.
That's about seven of y'all. Okay, it's only seven of y'all that really. The second thing that I want to say to you, that we must, that after we've overcome the self-imposed limitations, then secondly, we must live out of a kingdom perspective. Come on, shout to me, kingdom perspective. Now shout a little louder, kingdom perspective. It's in Ephesians 1, verse 18 and 19. Paul is writing to the church of Ephesus. He says this, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe." Meaning on the inside of you, there's power that you don't even realize. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is on the inside of you. I'm talking to every believer now. And if you happen to be here and you haven't given your life to Christ, today can be your day. As a matter of fact, today should be your day. It's a wonderful day to come into the kingdom of God. Come on, somebody just say amen right there. It's a wonderful day to come into the kingdom of God. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives on the inside of us. Paul saying, "I'm praying that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened so that you will recognize all that's available to you, all that's working in you, the one that's working through you." In order for us to walk in victory in a greater sense in 2018, I'm telling you, we must maintain a kingdom perspective. What is a kingdom perspective? Well, I'm glad you asked. A kingdom perspective, listen, it's a constant awareness and acknowledgement of Jesus, who is King, and his kingdom that is in operation, that is everywhere. It's an awareness and an acknowledgement of the spirit realm that is in operation and the authority that we have in it through Jesus Christ. Look at somebody and say, "Don't let this flesh fool you." Come on, y'all, you got to talk to each other. Lighten up, okay? Yeah. Come on, look at somebody and say, "Don't let this flesh fool you." Yeah. Say, "You don't know me that well." Don't say that to your wife, though. But don't say that to your spouse. "No, I know you." Yeah. I think, when Jesus stood before Pilate and Herod, he says, "Don't you know I have the power to take your life?" I can imagine. Now, Jesus wasn't going to say it much because he had to go to the cross. But can you imagine that Jesus standing there thinking, "Don't let this flesh fool you. Don't let this flesh fool you." Like he told Peter, he said, "I can call 12 legions of angels and shut this down." 72,000 angels. Now, just one angel showing up is something to deal with. Can you imagine 72,000 showing up? I'm talking about a kingdom perspective, kingdom perspective, a kingdom perspective, a kingdom perspective, a kingdom perspective. perspective. It says God is in charge, though men may say not so. God is in charge, the heavens declare it so. The universe's splendor speaks of his sovereignty. He's God of all creation, in charge of everything. God is in charge. He calls the stars by name. God is in charge. His power is still the same. Guess what? He knows the times and seasons. The hearts of men defined. In him is strength and wisdom, the breath of all mankind. That's my God. That's my God. That's my God. And that's the perspective that I'm talking about. A constant awareness of and acknowledgement of Jesus, who is King, and his kingdom that is everywhere. An awareness and an acknowledgement of the realm, of the spirit realm that is in operation, and the authority we have in it through Jesus Christ. The acknowledgement that Jesus has all power. Shout, all power. That he has all power and authority. And as ambassadors, we have been given the power and authority to influence, impact, and affect the natural and spiritual realm for the advancement of his kingdom on earth. Everywhere you go, the kingdom is there. Everywhere you go, the kingdom has the potential to be manifested. Make no mistake about it, the kingdom of God is everywhere. But when the church shows up, when a believer shows up, you are the vehicle, you are the conduit, you are the doorway opening up the manifestation of the kingdom. That's why you can go on your job when they're talking about laying folks off, and you just happen to make your way out of your cubicle or wherever you're at, just go in the bathroom for a few minutes, get in the stall, and just begin to talk to God about it. By the time you come out that stall, get back to your cubicle, everything has changed. We don't have to lay anybody off. Something just happened. Something just shifted. Something just turned around. Okay, are y'all tracking with me? I'm talking about the kingdom in operation. I'm talking about recognizing that with a kingdom perspective, you and I live in this reality, but we're able to impact the spiritual reality as well. So that when news comes to you and I, we're not impacted by it, Gwen, like others. News comes and people get shook up, and but we're a part of an unshakable kingdom.
Yes, sir.
And so we learn to operate out of that place. And sometimes you really do have to pull back and allow yourself to realign yourself, your spirit man, with the reality of the kingdom, so that you don't respond like everybody else. Everywhere you go, the kingdom of God has arrived. That's what Jesus said to the disciples. He said, I want you to go out. I want you to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. He said, and then tell them the kingdom of God is here. That's the same mandate, the same message for us today. And if we will maintain a kingdom perspective, it will help us to live in that place of a joyful expectation of good, no matter what's going on. Now, the last thing I want to say to you that's just as important and maybe even more important, because you can have worked through your self-imposed limitations, and you can have a kingdom perspective. But if you are not speaking faith-filled words, you will have to navigate through the life you've created by the words you have spoken. Does God honor our words? Does God honor our words? Just ask the children of Israel that murmured and complained and blamed God for being out there and said, now you brought us out here to die. And our children are going to be in harm. And God said, okay, now according to the words you spoke, according to the words you spoke, but your children will not be harmed. But he said, but 20 or 21 and above, you're done. Come on, can we just thank God for grace? Because I'm above 20, 21. Can we just thank God for mercy and grace? Thank you, Jesus. Faith. faith-filled words. Moses had to navigate through a murmuring people, and many of them died in the wilderness. When Joshua came on the scene, and Ken spoke on this, God tells Joshua, "You must keep my words on your lips, so that as you're navigating through this, don't get caught up in the stuff that Moses got caught up in." See, the challenge with Moses is he still had things on the inside that never really got worked out. And it caused him to miss going into the promised land. It was that anger thing. And just one time too many, and God said, "You're done." Now I'm telling you, God is merciful and he's gracious to us. But you must be reminded of this. In Proverbs 18 and 21, it says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." Death and life are in the power of the tongue. That means that the same creative power that created the universes, that created earth, spoke all into existence, that same creative power is on the inside of you and I. And whether you know it or not, some of the stuff we navigate through isn't because of the devil. It's because of things that you and I have said and things that we haven't said that we need to say in order to turn a situation around. And so Jesus, speaking to his disciples after having gone on a journey with them, and on the way there, he's looking for something to eat. You remember the story of the fig trees? The fig tree, Mark 11. And the tree wasn't bearing fruit. He cursed the tree. They went on their journey. Come back. The tree is withered up. And his disciples are saying, "Wow, what happened?" And Jesus uses it as a teaching moment. It says this, "And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted you.'" He's teaching them that they have power in their words. And so it's important for you and I to be on the right side of saying the right things. Ephesians 4 and 29 says this, "Let no unwholesome word come proceed from your mouth, but only such a word that is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear it." You see, just because you have the right to say it doesn't make it right to say it. Just because you have the right to say it doesn't make it right to say it. So there's this disciplined place of faith-filled words. What are faith-filled words? Brad, I'm glad you asked. Faith-filled words are words spoken that are in line with the Word of God, or words spoken directly from the Word of God. They are positive words spoken with an expectation and anticipation that allows room for God to move as he wills. Just simply meaning, listen to me, information will come to you and I. But when information comes to you and I, God already knows about it. I shared in the first service that in 2010, I had received a diagnosis of having a prostate cancer. And when that information came to me, because I learned to guard my words and I learned to guard what I let others say to me, I wouldn't take it on. I wouldn't receive it. As a matter of fact, I said, "It doesn't belong to me. Whatever's going on in my body doesn't belong to me. Jesus bore it on the cross over 2,000 years ago." Now, my doctor, who happens to be a believer as well, but he's looking at the information. He's looking at the facts. But how many know not all facts lead to truth? So that may be the facts as you know it, but the truth is this: he was wounded for my transgressions, he was bruised for my iniquities, the chastisement of my peace was upon him, and by his stripes I am healed. That doesn't belong to me. He got it. Now I'm telling telling you, that's how I was talking to my doctor. And I learned to pray this simple prayer. Now, I'm still talking about faith-filled words. Because I learned to pray out of a place so that I didn't pray out of a lesser place of faith. Meaning that sometimes information comes to us, they're closing down the plant, the company's moving, it's a health diagnosis, your bank account is drained. It can be a number of things. It can be a health challenge. It can be something that happens in your family or something that happens in a relationship. And when that information comes to you, it's not coming to God the same time it's coming to you. He already knows it. So I learned to pray this simple prayer that has kept me in a place of faith. And that is, Father, what are you requiring of me in light of what I now know? Father, what are you requiring of me in light of what I now know? Because this information has come to me, but you've already known about it. You've known about it all along. You know everything. Nothing comes to you by surprise. You don't get the information the same time I get the information. And it's not like I'm asking you to do something that you haven't been doing. You have kept me. You continue to keep me. And it's not like I need you to step it up now because of this diagnosis. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But I learned this. That it's out of speaking faith-filled words, and I'm almost done, that keeps the possibilities open. Positive words spoken with an expectation and anticipation that allows room that God is able to work in. They are words that ring with confidence that God is able to work in any situation, regardless, listen, of its complexity, unfavorable appearance, or predicted outcome. Faith-filled words are words of hope, joy, peace, love, and life. So it's time to say something good. It's time to say something good. Amen. There's a number of people that didn't make it into 2018. Pastor Ken and I had to eulogize a number of folk. It's tough. But you made it. I made it. And it's time to say something good. 2018 is going to be my best year. I'm just putting that out in the atmosphere, and you've got to pick it up for yourself. 2018 is going to be my best year. 2018 is going to be my best year. I struggled through last year. It was tough last year, but he brought me through it. He brought me into this year, and I choose to believe, profess, and confess, and declare that 2018 will be my best year in God. My best year in God. My best year in God. I have joyful expectation of good. I want to tell you this. In 2018, God said he's going to redeem time. He's going to renew health. He's going to release finances. And he's going to restore relationships. He's going to redeem time. Some of you feel like I missed out on something. Some of you feel like you're running out of time. Is there anybody here 100 years old? We're good. You still got time. Anybody 120? We still got time. No matter where you find yourself, if you're breathing, you still have time. God says, I'm going to redeem the time in your life. For some of you, you feel like things have passed you. But God says, I'm going to redeem the time, and I'm going to bring it back to you again. For some of you, he's going to renew health. Some of you are dealing with health challenges in your body. He's going to begin to renew health. He's going to begin to renew health. He's going to begin to move miraculously. Okay, this must have been just for me because nobody's like us. Maybe this part was just for me because Anybody need time redeemed? Anybody need health renewed? What about finances released? Anybody need more money? Come on, let's just be honest. Anybody need more money? I need more money. Yeah. I like having fun. Keeps me young. And lastly, he's going to restore relationships. He's going to restore relationships. Yeah, there you go, buddy. He's going to restore relationships.
Hallelujah.
Now I listed four areas right there, and if those are resonating for you, I want to just pray over us.